This is a recording for St. Kieran's Fishhook for the 12th of June. It's Trinity Sunday, and this is Rod Botsis, the invited preacher for the day. And Mike, God bless you as you try and make sense of this recording. Good morning. It's many, many years since I last preached at St. Kieran's. I think it was to declare to everyone that we believe in the resurrection of the dead. And of course, the occasion was Linda van Dyke's memorial service. Well, it is good to be back with you and to again declare the resurrection of the dead and the gift of the Holy Spirit to us. A little over 2 months ago, I preached at the memorial service of one of your former ministers, Sean Wells. He actually did his post-academic training, his probation period here. And you must have trained him very well because Sean became one of our very, very best ministers for more than 20 years. He was our minister in Kempton Park, the congregation is known as Gateway Presbyterian Church. And very sadly, Sean died of a very horrible cancer. But I was thrilled to be able to inter his ashes and to declare the resurrection. I want you to know I have a very high regard for Mike Buller, your current minister. Quite simply, I love Mike and I enjoy him. And you should count yourselves blessed to have Mike as yours. So it's good to be with you. My job today is to read the scriptures, explain and apply the scriptures, and to celebrate Holy Communion with you. On this Trinity Sunday, let's see what we can learn about God. In Holy Communion, we always do the four things that Jesus did in the upper room on the night he was arrested. One, we take bread and wine. Two, we give thanks for bread and wine. Three, we break the bread and pour the wine. And four, we share the bread and wine. Take, thank, break and pour, share. Christ Jesus did it, and we do it. Well, let's read the scriptures now and see if you can work out, and I'm in a sense teasing you folks, as I'm sure you will know, but let's see if we can work out why we are able to take, thank, break, and share in Holy Communion. So the first scripture we're going to read is John chapter 16. It's the gospel reading for this Trinity Sunday. John chapter 16 and verses 12 to 15. It's the upper room. It's the night of his arrest. It's around the table. And Jesus says this from verse 12. This is the word of God. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. And then we read from Acts chapter 11, where Peter has... having to explain to the conservative Jewish Christians in Jerusalem how on earth did he allow himself to go into the home of a Gentile. And of course the Gentile was Cornelius, an officer in the Roman army, an Italian, and Peter is back in Jerusalem trying to explain what happened. We read from verse 1 of Acts chapter 11. This too is the word of God. Luke writes, the apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God also. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of an uncircumcised man and ate with him and his friends." Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it happened. This is what he said. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice from heaven came a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled back up into heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Holy Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers with me also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who's also called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God?" When the brothers heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles the gift of eternal life." Well, Acts chapter 11, verse 1, the Gentiles also received the word of God. Acts chapter 11, verse 18, so then God has granted even the Gentiles the gift of eternal life. Even the Gentiles. Folks, I grew up in a very cosmopolitan suburb of Johannesburg called Kensington, sort of low middle class. Our neighbors were Jews. My parents had Jewish friends. Other neighbors were Portuguese, Italians, Afrikaans. And we in the neighborhood called the Jews Yids, and Jews called all non-Jews Yoks. You were either a Yid or you were a Yok. Really not politically correct to speak like that now, but there it is. That's what we called each other in those days. Well, in Peter's day, it was Jews and Gentiles. And neither party was willing to cross the line, except Peter did. Now, much, much later, Paul writes to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and he says, "I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first the Jew, then the Gentile." Oh, first the Jews. Folks, this is many years later, but Paul is still reflecting something of the tension that was there in the early church about the good news of Jesus going to the Yoks, to the Gentiles. So, Centurions, we can go to the holy table today. We can take the bread and wine. We can give thanks for the bread and wine. We can break the bread and pour the wine, and we can share the bread and wine because, Acts chapter 11, verse 1, the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And because, Acts 11, verse 18, God had granted even the Gentiles the gift of eternal life. So as you come to the table this morning, trace your heritage, trace your history to this very moment of Peter bearing witness to this hostile group of conservative Jewish Christians and telling them that God gave his Holy Spirit to the Gentiles, Cornelius and his friends, just as the Spirit had come on them who first believed at that first Pentecost. Folks, in a sense, I'm asking all of us to open our spiritual family photo album and go back and back and back, and you'll see your ancestor Peter, a Jew, and Paul, a Jew, and you'll see Cornelius, a Yock, a Gentile non-Jew, and you'll see Timothy, a Yock, a Gentile non-Jew, and you'll see Epaphroditus. Who was Epaphroditus? The first convert to Christianity in all of Asia, what we would call Turkey today. Imagine that, the first Christian man. I've just been reading the history of James Stewart, the great missionary who founded Lovedale Mission Station and Hospital and School in the Eastern Cape. But he was one of the very first men to sail up Lake Nyasa and was amongst a group of very, very first white people who ever got into that northern part of Central Africa to bring the good news of Jesus to Gentiles. Oh, folks, I hope you can feel happy, happy, happy inside in your heart, deep in your heart, that you are included in God's chosen people. You're included in the people of the covenant with Abraham, Moses, and onwards. That you are included in the long history of godly people, kings and prophets. That you are included in with Jesus and James and John and Mary and Priscilla and Aquila and all the biblical saints that we have read. And you're included in all the church of God across all the world. So I retired a year ago after being at the Bellville congregation for just over 42 years. Ach, shame. Poor things to put up with me for so long. Anyway, I took the staff, the pastoral staff and the secretaries and the caretaker to breakfast. And I told them, it's breakfast, we're going to a golf club nearby. And I said, although it's breakfast, please order anything you like. Well, I sat next to our caretaker. I'm just going to call her Mary. It's not her name. And I repeated as we got menus. I said, folks, just please have whatever you like, okay? And Mary looked at the menu for a long time. And then she pointed to the description of a cheeseburger. With extra cheese and crispy fried onions and chips. And she said to me, I know it's breakfast, Rod, but can I have that? Pointing at the burger. I said, of course you can have it. Well, later when we got back to the office and picked up our day's work, she slipped into my office and she said, Rod, I have never been in a restaurant before in all my life. I did not know what to do. Was it okay that I had the burger? She's in her 30s and she had never, ever been in a restaurant. And I had to say to her, Mary, when you're in. And you were in our party. And you were welcome to have anything you like when you're in the family. All belongs to you. Folks, God's grace is for all who believe. All are made righteous, right with God by faith from first to last, says Romans chapter 1. Tony, you're in. Miriam, you're in. Lynn, you're in. Mike, you're in. Rod, you're in. You belong in God's family because even the Gentiles have received the word of God and the gift of eternal life. Okay. So we know that we can peacefully and humbly and confidently go to the table because God granted even us yokes, Gentiles, eternal life. But exactly what made Peter cross that Jew, Gentile, that yid yok line? Exactly what convinced him that this was God at work and made him say, verse 17, "Who was I to think that I could oppose God?" So what was it that actually smashed his prejudice to bits and got him to cross that line to the Gentiles? Well, he tells us, and we've heard it several times today, God gave them the same gift he gave us. The Holy Spirit came on them as he came on us at the beginning. The gift of the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being born again of the Spirit. Remember John the Baptist looked at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then he said, "I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And so John told us in such a clever way that Jesus forgives sin and Jesus fills with the Spirit. Jesus forgives sin and Jesus fills us with the Holy Spirit. So, on this glorious Trinity Sunday, let's remember the Father so loved the world that he sent his Son. And Jesus came to forgive sin and to fill us with the Spirit. Now, I was 14 years old when I gave my life to Jesus, and I was in. The minister, James Elias, called me child of God, and I felt included in this little congregation where I was converted in Durban. But it took 7 years to learn what you've heard today, that he also wanted to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Now, Luke 11, verse 13 says, the Father wants to give you the Holy Spirit, but you must ask him. Isn't that interesting? So, folks, we can go to the table because he gave his Spirit to non-Jews also. We're included. And we can go to heaven, we, Yorks, Jews, non-Jews, Gentiles, we're in his family. But he wants us, thirdly, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that he gave to the 120 at Pentecost, the same Spirit he gave to Cornelius through Peter's preaching. But he wants us to ask. So I invite you, seriously, before we go to communion, to say, "Please fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord." I invite you, when you are awake in the middle of the night, sleepless, restless, to say, "Lord, please fill me with your Holy Spirit." I invite you when you hear of a friend being ill and maybe sick to death, that you'll say, "Lord, please fill me with your Spirit." When it's your turn to suffer loss of some sort and it hurts, I urge you to pray, "Lord, please fill me with your Spirit. Fill me again and again." No matter how many leaks you may have, ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask seriously and ask believingly. The Gentiles were given the Spirit, so we can have the Spirit. And Jesus says, "Just ask. This gift is for you too." Thank you for listening so carefully.